We'll be reading today from Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, and we'll read down through verse 11. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, let's open up our Bibles and let's read together. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." A good way to teach is to show the mistakes that people made in the past, and then use their example to warn other people and admonish them to do better. The New Testament oftentimes points us back to the Old Testament to learn from the mistakes, especially of people in the past. In Romans 15, verse 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," that is, the things written in the Old Testament, "were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So the New Testament encourages us today to read the Old Testament. Just because the Old Testament law was nailed to the cross does not mean that we're unable to learn from it, because there are many lessons to learn from the Old Testament. Another passage on this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. After Paul talked about many events in the lives of the Israelite people, here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. "Now all these things happened unto them," that is, to these Israelites, "for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So this is what the writer does in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Sometimes people look at these warnings and call them warnings from the wilderness. This section is about the sins of the Israelite people as they journeyed through that land for 40 years. The interesting thing about this quotation in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, is that it is a quotation from the Old Testament book of Psalms. It comes from Psalm 95. And we know that David wrote it. We don't have to guess about that, because one chapter later in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, as he quotes again that section, he says that David wrote that psalm. And the interesting thing about Psalm 95 is that David wrote those words about 500 years after the Israelites were traveling toward Canaan. Now think about it. David told the Israelite people 500 years after these events in the wilderness happened, after those Jewish ancestors of those made all of those mistakes, he told those Jewish people in his time, 500 years later, in Psalm 95, "Don't make the same mistakes that your forefathers made. Don't be stubborn like they were. Don't be unbelieving like your ancestors were." Then, over 1,000 years later, the writer of the book of Hebrews quotes this very same passage, and he tells these Jews in the church, 1,500 years after the time of Moses, after their ancestors had rebelled against God, he is telling them, "Don't be like your ancestors." So this is an old warning. It was needed in David's time, 500 years after the time of Moses and these Israelite people. It was needed 1,000 years later in the first century in this book of Hebrews that we're reading right now. And this same warning that is so old is still needed today in the church. So all this shows that the Bible is very relevant. It's always up to date, because people don't change and times really don't change. Notice in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, the way that this verse begins, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith." Now, you might expect when a New Testament writer quotes the Old Testament to introduce that quotation with the words, "It is written." That oftentimes is the case, and that's very legitimate. But here he says, "The Holy Ghost said this." Now, this simply shows, and this emphasizes the fact, that the Bible is the Holy Spirit speaking. You see, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, that holy men of God, especially but not limited to those Old Testament prophets, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost used these men to write the Bible. And the words of the Bible are inspired of God. That's why he says that when the Scriptures speak, that is the Holy Ghost speaking. Now, what is this warning that he wanted them to hear and that we need to hear today? Well, he says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." Listen, hear, accept the word of God. Don't delay. Don't make excuses. Don't put it off and don't resist the word of God. Remember in the book of Hebrews that there is a sense of urgency in this book. He's telling these people, don't put this off and don't take this lightly. Because each time you do, your heart will get a little bit harder. So he warns them in verse 8, "Harden not your hearts." This has always been a problem with mankind because man is a stubborn creature. He's prideful, selfish, and self-willed. And it is a dangerous thing to harden your heart against the Word of God. This is something that even Jesus himself had a hard time dealing with. You'll remember in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, that Jesus said that the heart of those people had waxed or become dull, and their ears were dull of hearing, their eyes they had closed. That was a problem that even Jesus Christ himself encountered. And later in this book of Hebrews, the writer is going to say that some of these people in the church in the first century were dull of hearing. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. As long as your heart is soft, you may make mistakes, but you can overcome those mistakes and be forgiven and conform your life to God's will. But once your heart is hardened, you can't be helped until there's a change in that heart. Now, this is what happened to the Israelite people in Moses' day. When you read the book of Exodus, and especially the book of Numbers, and somewhat the book of Deuteronomy, you're going to see that people in those books would not listen to God, and they seemed to never learn from their mistakes. This was the provocation that he's talking about in Hebrews 3, verse 8. He says, "Don't harden your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." This was not one particular 24-hour day, like Monday or Tuesday. But it was a span of time. It was a period of time. And we know that because in verse 9, he says, this took place for 40 years. So we're talking about the word day in the sense of a span of time. And it was a time of temptation, a time of trial. They were being tested by God, but they were trying to test him. That's the point of Hebrews chapter 3 and how arrogant that was. The forefathers of these very Jews in the church in the first century had tested God. Now, what does this mean? Well, it means they tested God to see if he would do what he said. They tested to see how far they could go with their sins. They tested God's patience. Do you remember those stories in the Old Testament? God had promised these Israelite people that he would take care of them, that he would bring them to the promised land. And over, they complained and they questioned God's promise. In the book of Exodus, chapter 14, shortly after they left Egypt, after having been slaves there for all those years, they reached the Red Sea and they began to question and they began to criticize. They told Moses, "Did you bring us out here into this place to die?" So they're already testing God. In Exodus chapter 16, God told them not to gather manna on the Sabbath day, and some did it anyway. They're testing God. In Exodus chapter 32, when Moses was up in the mount, they rebelled against God, and they went back to their own ways and made an idol and served that idol. When you get to the book of Numbers, you find many examples of these Israelites testing God. In Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, the people complained, and fire came from God and consumed them. In Numbers chapter 11, in verses 4 and following, they complained about the food that they were eating. God gave them manna from heaven. God supplied their needs, but they weren't satisfied. And so they complained about the food that they were eating, and they wanted some of that same food that they had back in Egypt. Many of those people died because of their attitude. In Numbers chapter 13, God brought them to the border of the promised land, but they didn't believe that God would be with them. And as a result, they were punished by wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. In Numbers chapter 16, Korah and his company died because of their rebellion against God. But then later in Numbers chapter 16, the very next day, there were many of those Israelite people that had witnessed the earth opening up and swallowing down Korah and those rebellious men that complained against Moses and Aaron and said, "You have killed the people of God." Now, how could those people see the wrath of God poured out on that company of people? How could they witness a miracle like that and complain against the God who did those things? Well, that's why almost 15,000 people died that day. In Numbers chapter 20, they still haven't learned their lesson because they complained because there was no water. Well, God supplied them with water, and their sin of rebellion was so bad that they even caused Moses to say something that he shouldn't have said, and because of that, Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land either. In Numbers chapter 21, they complained again, and God sent fiery serpents among them. In Numbers chapter 25, they committed idolatry and fornication. Now, these are just some of the things that they did. And to make matters worse, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Your fathers," that is, your very ancestors, "tempted me," that is, they tested me, they proved me, "and they saw my works 40 years. They committed all these sins after they had seen, and as they were seeing, God's mighty works. In spite of everything that God did, which they saw, they still rebelled against him." These are the very people that had witnessed the plagues in Egypt. These are the very people who saw the Red Sea part. These are the very people who stood at the foot of Mount Sinai and were scared because of the earth shaking and the fire and the thunder and the dark clouds descending upon the mount. These are the very people that witnessed the punishment that God gave to the rebels among them, and these are the very people that he gave manna from heaven and water from a rock. And yet, it seemed to never be enough. So in verse 10, the Bible tells us that God was grieved with that generation and said, "They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." And as a result, in verse 11, God swore in his wrath, in his anger, "They shall not enter into my rest." A good commentary on these verses that we have just read is the whole book of Numbers, especially beginning in chapter 11. And another good commentary that I would suggest is Psalm 78. The people of Israel are an example to all people of all times of disobeying God. Let's take heed to the book of Hebrews, and may we hear the scriptures and never harden our hearts.